How to Thrive in the Virtual Workplace by Robert Glaser with Mick Sloan. Read by Robert G. Slade. Introduction. In 2017, our company, Acceleration Partners, made the decision to expand into the United Kingdom. One of the key decisions for our leadership team and our new managing director was how and if we could extend our remote working policy to the region, which had existed for our American employees for over a decade and had become a foundation of our award-winning company culture. At the time, working from home was even less common in the United Kingdom than it was in the United States, so our new managing director was understandably concerned that remote work would not be easily accepted by potential clients and employees. Our experience with employees who worked remotely for the first time when they joined our team was that they adjusted very quickly. However, we also understood the risks of entering a new market with a work style that went against traditional cultural norms. We ultimately reached a middle ground, securing a flex office space for our growing team to work together in person and to meet with prospective clients. Then a funny thing happened. Within a few months, hardly anyone on the UK team was using the flex workspace. Even though remote work was new to all the employees in that region, they had all adapted quickly, and soon working from home had become their preference. Several of the UK team members enthusiastically communicated how much they appreciated being able to avoid their daily commute and shared that they could not see themselves ever returning to a full-time office environment. Our global expansion experience illustrates what many companies have come to discover in their own remote work transitions. Some who have never experienced remote work wrongly assume it is untenable for their own organizations. And while remote work isn't for everyone, the reality, as many have come to learn, is that it's far more feasible than conventional wisdom might otherwise suggest. Open secret. For years, remote work has been gaining momentum, moving from a fringe business tactic to a model readily adopted both by employees and companies, even large, well-known organizations. Even in the past decade, there has been a stigma surrounding remote work. People who hadn't experienced that workplace model pictured employees slacking off, lounging in their pajamas, and taking hours-long breaks throughout the workday. Not only did this make prospective employees worry about working from home, but it made clients and customers wary as well. Early in our company's history, we felt increased pressure to work exceptionally hard to prove that we could deliver top-tier service even without an office. Some remote companies have even felt the need to hide their lack of an office to customers in order to appear more credible. But times have changed, and this workplace model no longer needs to be a secret. Companies with remote work environments are more comfortable sharing the practice openly with clients and see it as an emerging competitive advantage to attract the best talent. The United States has led the remote working revolution, with remote work growing by 44% in the past 5 years and 91% in the last 10. However, the trend was beginning to catch on in other countries even before a global pandemic swept across the world in 2020 and forced nearly all companies to transition to remote work. And yet, despite having limited experience or preparation for that shift, a significant number of organizations found that, for the most part, they were able to conduct business as usual. Many of their skeptical employees also found remote work far more agreeable than anticipated. The commuting crunch. Long before the COVID-19 pandemic, the drawbacks of office life were becoming more apparent. The average American worker spent 225 hours, or 9 days, commuting in 2019. And commute times have risen.